are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. To the Father from whom all things will come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, His one and only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us all as one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, by our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love, they will know we are Christians by our love.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Hello.
Loud and clear.
Guess we're all right. All right. Yeah. Okay. Everything looks good like that. What I got to do is get PowerPoint up. So let's begin with prayer. And Father, I thank you, Lord. There's these nagging technical issues, but Lord, this here, I believe it's going to eliminate a lot of them, and that we will function much smoother, and there'll be less downtime like this, Lord. So we praise you and thank you, Lord. And tonight I pray that First John will be a great blessing, and that we will really absorb your word, Lord, in a real way. And whatever I do is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us on Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in 1 John, and what I've been kind of waiting for this is to merge 1 John and the Gospel of John in a close way. So that's what I did today. I spent time in John and in 1 John, and they run really similar. They're really close here about love and, well, in 1 John, this chapter is about righteousness, the first part. The second part is about commandment to love. So that's what I want to look at. And we want to talk about love because there's some serious scriptures about love and commandments to love. And we must pay attention to that. And I'm thinking of myself, basically when I was younger in the Lord, saying things, maybe doing things that the world wouldn't think that bad of, let's say. But the Lord is not good. So the commandment to love was not in my mind. Now, I grew into it, and I realized there's a period of time where we grow spiritually. But right now, when I interact with people, and let's say there are people that irritate me, you know, they come up to me after I speak, let's say, and they're saying bizarre things, and just I wish they would go away, because it's like they're coming from left field, the expression, they're way off base, they've got bizarre thoughts about scripture, and my mind is someplace else. Now, if it's easy to answer the question, it's easy to interact with them, that's okay. But there quite often seems someone that wants to, I'm going to say, overpower me with their thinking that's contrary to what I thought. And I can fire up real quickly with that. I mean, because it's like kind of outrageous the way I look at it, is you just sat there for 45 minutes to an hour, and you couldn't wait to get up here to confront me. And I just laid out a whole scriptural train of thought here. So I've learned to deal with them in love, where back, you know, so many years ago, inside, I would deal with them publicly there. I would look okay, probably. But inside, I was like a roaring lion. Get up, get away from me, get out of here. And so I'm not like that anymore. I can handle them and say whatever I need to say to gently handle it. And to me, that's a sign of love, where you've grown in love, where there isn't this anger that would come in me that I needed to like suppress. The anger is basically gone. I wish they weren't there when they start that stuff. Well, I can remember teaching on the rapture. I can see the whole scene, but I can't tell you where I was. And I teach on the rapture, and this guy couldn't wait to get up to confront me. I mean, he was one of those spiritual debilitators. He just couldn't wait till I was finished. So I said to him, I headed him off, and I said, look, do you believe in the literal second coming, bodily second coming of Jesus Christ? And he said, yes. I said, okay. That's all the discussion I want with you. Because I believe in the same thing. It's just a different approach. So you know, I don't want to talk about it anymore. He was gunning for me more. He just wanted to get in the confrontation and prove how wrong I was. I call them spiritual debilitators. I mean, he ran to be the first online if people were going to ask me questions about it. So when you speak publicly like that for the Lord, you have to be equipped and grounded in God's love, because you're going to meet all types of people there with spiritual backgrounds, and a lot of the people were greatly blessed, but there's always some that want that confrontation. So you have to be spiritually able for it, and part of that is to operate in love with them. Yeah. So, like, I'm sad that you don't believe in the rapture. You know, you're really missing the blessed hope. But, you know, I don't, the doctrine that you have, I don't believe it. I believe in the blessed hope, looking for the imminent coming of Jesus Christ. And not inside be all boiling. So let's take a look here. The part about righteousness, that's the first part. That's the first part of the teaching. And then I want to spend as much time as we have left here on God's love. But the very first thing I want to do is lay out true discipleship. And I was thinking that this would be really good on a Wednesday night, when I like to touch on discipleship, because there's three particular scriptures in John that point out God's requirement to be his disciple. Jesus Christ points it out. What he recognizes as a disciple. And I think that's very important that we should all abide, like the scripture says here in 1 John in particular. We should all abide in these scriptures. We should live in these scriptures. John 13:35, which fits what I'm teaching tonight. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Well, there it is. You know, love one to another. Not cutting, not bad mouthing, not cursing, you know. But now the other person can do it. I don't, you know, if they're, that's what's in them, but not us. Not us. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So that's love in the family, love at the children, love at church, and that includes people that are not, we'll say, right with the scriptures, that we have a peace and love about us at work. This is one of the three signs that signifies that we are a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's like a visible love. So it's not like we're ugly at home, real ugly at home, and then go to church and have a face on that looks good. No, we are consistent everywhere with God's love. So that's one of the characteristics, and that's what 1 John is about. And that's what a lot of the gospel of Jesus Christ is about. When you get into those chapters, like really starting, well, here at 13, and there's a couple of scriptures before it, but 13, 14, 15 there are loaded with scriptures about love. Now, the next one, John 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So the next one is bearing much fruit. And I think of God's love in us is what motivates us to bear much fruit. So if we are a disciple of the Lord by having love one to another, as the Bible commands us, we have a lot of love in us, that John 15:8 will also be fruitful for the Lord because of that love. love will motivate us to do a lot of things. And remember, there's no fear in love. So, excuse me. So, no fear in love. Well, that means we won't be fearful, we'll say, in speaking for the Lord, interceding for the Lord, maybe dealing in love with people that are in error that need to be spoken to, need to be a public witness, handing out brochures. Why? Because of the love of God in us. We don't have fear. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So that love, being made perfect in love, I think is a big, big issue there and bearing much fruit. When fear is burned out of us and it's replaced with God's love, we'll be really, really producing a lot of fruit. So there's two things there about discipleship. The first is love. The second is fruit. Then the third, John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So the third evidence of being a disciple is really grounded in God's word. Reading his word, studying his word, memorizing his word, meditating on his word, developing great knowledge of the word. Those are all signs of someone that is a disciple of the Lord. So the three things then, according to the word here in John, the Gospel of John, the three things that signify, three things that are show real discipleship is having God's love in us that's clearly seen. The second is fruit, bearing much fruit. And that is very important, that that shows that we don't have fear. Fear is the devil's big hindrance to us. But so if we're full of God's love, the more of God's love in us, the less fear we have. Until it says perfect love, you know, casts out fear. So we can have perfect love, which means no fear in us. And the third is the word. We are disciples by continuing in the word. The word. So I thought that was nice to look at, these three scriptures. These three scriptures really should all go together in our mind. John 13:35, John 15:8, and John 8:31. Simple, folks. It's not complicated. It's not a real deep doctrinal study. It's right there. If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples. That if you bear much fruit, my disciples. You're my disciple if you have love one to another. All right. I'll move on from here. And I want to come back to 1 John. And look at these scriptures, because here we start off with, in fact, it's being passed from death to life. So let's look at 1 John 3, starting at 14. We know we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And then John comes in, the Gospel of John, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. loved darkness is the same as abiding in darkness, abiding in death. So let's go back to verse 14. We know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So love is the anchor, folks. Love is real evidence. So in our interaction with people, and this is how, remember what First John, the foundation of it. John said that we might have fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and that our joy may be full. So if we want to have fellowship with God, and we want God's joy, the love of the brethren has to be there. It has to go with it. And that's why we have to watch ourselves, folks. I mean, there can be things done to us within a family, things done to us within a church, you know, that can be really nasty. I mean, really bad. But we have to guard our hearts that we don't get over into hatred. You know, even what they did. So let's say something terrible was done to us. And if we begin to hate and have bitterness and malice and anger, we're abiding in death, folks. So we have to, maybe we need to get prayer with others, but we have to give this to the Lord and let not hatred take over, folks. I remember the first time I was, in fact, it had to do about that course I used to teach years and years ago about Bible memorization and meditation. And there was a woman in the church that was a secretary. Now, she wasn't a secretary for the church, but she was a secretary, and she was great at what I needed to set up this course. So somehow I was talking to the pastor about it, and he had her contact me. So she contacted me, and I was delighted because I was laying something out like handwritten, printed, and then she would translate that over into a document that we can make copies from. But as I began to work with her, she was probably the first one that I ever encountered that was so full of bitterness, at least with the Lord, you know. And she wanted to constantly talk about her ex-husband, and I understand what happened. And he left her for a younger woman, and her bitterness was so bad. And in fact, I remember saying I would pray with her, you know. I said, I could see how you're really hurt. And I didn't know then about healing the brokenhearted ministry like I do now, but I just said I would pray with her. She refused. No, she says she didn't want to be delivered from me. I actually, and she was doing an excellent job, but I couldn't work with her anymore because of that root of bitterness whereby many are defiled. She was defiled, folks, with that hatred, and it poured out of her, and I couldn't stand it. So I had to separate from her. That's how strong she was, defiled, folks. She was defiled. So what happened was she let what he did defile her before God. The hatred, the bitterness, the anger. That was many years ago, and she passed on now. But I hope that she came out of it, you know. Because it's sad when you look at someone's following the Lord, something terrible happens to her, and the next thing you know, the bitterness was so bad you didn't want to be around it. And then another time I was praying for a woman who said she had a broken heart. She wanted to pray with me. And I got to the point where to pray with her about forgiveness. And it was forgiveness for her husband. And it was the same thing. He left her for a younger woman. And she said, no, she won't forgive him. No. And I tried many ways to work with her to forgive him. I would intercede, things like that. no matter what I did, she said no. She was basically going to hate him, and that was all to it. So I said that I can't pray for you for healing for a broken heart. So she found it, I remember it vividly, she found it hard to believe that I wouldn't pray for her. And I said, I can't pray for you with a heart like that. You must forgive. She wouldn't. So those were the two really bad ones that I remember through the years. The first one was the worst, that secretary there. So abideth in death, folks. So guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Again, terrible things have happened to people, but you don't want to be spiritually defiled by what the other person did to you. In the end, you've got to trust God that he's going to deal with that person, either in repentance now in this life, or have to deal with him in judgment in the next life. But do not let yourself abide in death. Don't forget. Run to forgive, folks. Run. Lord, I forgive this person for this and that. Help keep me from being bitter. Lord, keep me from being angry. I don't want to be defiled, Lord. I give this to you. You know, that's how we handle it as Christians. So verse 14, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now that's really, really strong. We're going to look at Cain and Abel a little later. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So both scriptures are saying the same thing from a little different angle. But verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That's strong, Lord, about hating and not having eternal life. John, now the Gospel of John, 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And now look at this. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So this is loving sin, folks. You know, like loving, in a weird sense, hating someone. It does something inside when you hate someone for whatever reason. It's loving darkness. And what does it say about that? Abideth in death. And this is the commandment. This is the condemnation. That light is come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Loved darkness. So we love the light. And what's in the light is God. That's where God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are in the light. And when we are walking, like at the cross, when Jesus was being nailed to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, that's really powerful forgiveness, folks. But he did that to redeem us. So God wants us to walk in that same way that Jesus Christ walked, in that Jesus forgave them that were nailing him to the cross, and we will forgive people that do harm to us or stole or mocked or violence. Well, we will forgive them. We will not go over into hatred, into at any reason, at any time. That's a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, here's Cain and Abel. And we know this story where Abel brought the flock before the Lord, and the Lord was accepted it, and Cain didn't. And Cain was very upset that the Lord didn't accept his sacrifice. Genesis 4:6. Then the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Now, doing well was following what Abel did. You know, he may have to go to Abel if he doesn't have any sheep there and barter with him, or you know, tell his brother, I have this problem. Can I take a sheep or two? That's what doing well is. If thou doest not well, that means what you just did, if you don't turn around, I guess repent of it, sin lieth at the door. And God's warning that sin is ready, right there, to apprehend you. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shall rule over him. So sin will be very, very powerful. If you do it God's way, you're protected from it. If you don't do it God's way, is that sin is very powerful. So what happened in verse 8? And Cain walked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. So Cain was full of hatred for his brother. And he looked okay, and Cain walked with Abel, his brother. So maybe there was no indication of it, but inside he was boiling with hatred. And if you look at it, Abel didn't do anything to Cain at all. He obeyed what God wanted. And Cain was so angry. He took his anger out on his brother, who simply was obeying God. When they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. So Cain was full of hatred for his brother. And what does the Bible say? It says hatred. You hate your brother, that's the same as murder. Well, here it is right here. That's exactly what happened. So that's why we can't fool around, folks, with hatred, because it leads to malice and anger, violence, and root of bitterness. We become defiled. And Cain didn't do what God said, and he ends up killing his brother. But when we walk in love, that would never happen. That would never happen when we abide in love. Here, he was abiding right here is where he was abiding. Verse 14, we know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother, what does it say? Abideth in death. So that's Cain was abiding in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. That's exactly, Cain took it to the full, he took that hatred to the fullness and murdered his brother. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So this is a good scriptures to look at, Cain and Abel, because it's a perfect example of no love, hatred taking over love, bitterness, anger, malice, all coming from hatred. Verse 14. Well, actually, I've covered that already. I did it twice. Right, 1 John 4:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There's an example of what the Lord did going to the cross. And that is connected with love, folks. And that's powerful. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That is really powerful, folks. That's something you don't take lightly. Hereby, we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us. He went to the cross for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's really advanced love, folks. Really advanced. Yeah. As I was putting this together, I got mixed up. But anyways, I covered this already. I just said it. I double posted it. I know what I'll be doing tomorrow. I'll be straightening it. One of the things I'll do is straighten this out. All right. Whosoever hath this world's goods. Now this has to do about loving the brother, folks. Or brethren. But whosoever has this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? So, as believers, and believers are folks, they really are noted for giving. We really do have big hearts, folks. As a general view of real believers in the Lord, they're moved by compassion to help people. And I've known that through the year. Now, of course, there are some people that don't, but I'm just in general. God's people are really motivated to help one another. That's because of that love. Verse 18, my little children. Now, that's the word little children again that John used more. The only one that used the expression other than John was Paul in Galatians, and he said it just once. My little children, whom I travail in birth again. That's what Paul said. Now, here John used it, I don't remember how many times, folks, but we did go over this, and I think a half a dozen is fair, a fair amount or more. No, it's more. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So as believers, we should be moving in action, deeds, to help those that are really in need, really in need. I can remember, there's a group here that I belong to. It's, NEMA, it's called, N-E-M-A, and they meet, once a month, and it has to do about Northeast, Ministers Association. It's more Northeast Houston, but it's NEMA is the name of it. And when that, hurricane hit, well, primarily North Carolina, but it hit parts of Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Kentucky, but North Carolina took the real breath of, the real big punch of it. I mean, the amount of goods, and I'm just going to say goods, that was raised by the churches around here was shocking. Absolute shock. At some point, they had to say to stop. They stopped. I had to say stop, I remember. And then the cash that was raised also. And they had caravans of trucks leaving Houston, going to Tennessee. I know they went, one caravan went to Kentucky. Another one went into Tennessee, North Carolina. North Carolina was the big spot. But the churches were being collecting positions. So people were bringing in all sorts of food and equipment and clothing to the churches. And then the trucks went and picked it all up in the church and then led caravans. The government was involved. No one was not involved. No one forced it. But I saw it happening around me. It was huge. Spontaneously. And this is Northeast Houston, but I know it was going on all around Houston. But spontaneously, the whole church rose up there for disaster relief. And then other people went and they took chainsaws and heavy equipment and they were helping, I mean, real big time help. Yeah, they, you know, like I said, the trees and heavy equipment with houses and all. So that, oh, and I remember talking to Jamil about this, Pastor Jamil from Pakistan, and he was aware of it. And I don't know, I just don't remember how he was aware of this tremendous response for Houston for what happened in primarily North Carolina, but other areas were really touched too. And he said, there's nothing like that in Pakistan. You're on your own. The government does a little, very little. But in Pakistan, you're on your own. You know, don't look for a mosque to help you. And the churches are kind of so small there. I don't know how much they can do. But he said, basically, you're on your own in Pakistan when disaster hits like that. But not so with God's people. That's the love of God. We're abiding in God's love. And that just rises up in us to be tremendous help. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. So that responding, that action, indeed in truth, what does it say? And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure confidence our hearts before Him. So how we respond like things like that shows what really is in our hearts. It gives us assurance before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. So if we have peace inside in like dealing with the brother in and things like I've been talking about, then we can have confidence towards God. But if there's a hardness in us, if there's bondage in us, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So that condemnation in our heart, according to the scriptures here, is coming from God. God is working through our heart because He knows how we are. He knoweth all things. So God can be working through our heart, dealing with hardness, dealing with lack of love, things like that. So it's important for us spiritually to know that in situations like that, how we react, God will be there to either have confidence towards Him, or He knows what's in our heart and He's condemning it, or encouraging us to grow spiritually and grow in love. But it says here in these two scriptures, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater. See, God is greater. He knows what's going on in our heart and He knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence towards God. So how we react with love or lack of love, with a soft heart or a hard heart, that is an indicator of what's inside of us, love or hardness. Now let's look at the commandments, and I want to go to John. John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Now that's pretty straightforward. If you love me, keep my commandments. The problem is when we look at it, we have to know what the commandments are. Now, there's one scripture that tells us a part, the Lord tells us part of His commandment here. But 1 John, which are the next scriptures I'm going to get to, tells us what the commandments are. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Notice how it's the action shows the love. It's not like, well, saying he loves me, but taking the action, keeping God's commandment here, commandments. He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of the Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. All right. So keeping Jesus Christ's commandments is the person that loves him. It's by action. It's not by words. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. So when we keep the commandments of Jesus Christ, the Father's love is there bearing witness with us. So that the love of fellowship there with Jesus Christ, the love of commitment to him brings the Father along. That love draws the Father. And I will love him. So those that love Jesus, the Father and the Son will love that person. And look at this. And will manifest myself to him. Well, I thought on that. Folks, those that are hard towards God, those that are not keeping his commandments like this, they're not going to get this deep manifestation of Jesus Christ to that person. You know, I've heard people say, I never hear from God. Now, I don't know what's going on in their heart. I've heard that quite a bit. And maybe they're not hearing from God because his love is not in them, that person. And I'm not condemning them because I don't know what's going on in their life, but that's what comes to mind to me. I will manifest myself to him. So if some person is verbally saying, you know, I never hear from God. I never hear from God. I mean, this verse tells us that if you've got God's love in you, Jesus is going to love you. The Father is in on it, and he will manifest himself. So if we feel like God's not manifesting himself, this would be Jesus Christ is not manifesting himself. It's time, folks, to do a heart check here and see if our heart is hard or if it's soft and abiding in him. Because if it's soft and abiding in him, it says, and he will manifest and will manifest myself to him. So if someone really loves the Lord, the Father, the Son, they're all going to be there. And the Bible says that whoever that is loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So I pray that everyone here that's listening to the sound of my voice, that we have so much love in us, the love of God in us, that everyone will have Jesus Christ manifest himself to that person. And there's several ways. One of the big ways that God manifests himself to us is if we're going in a wrong direction, let's say, he'll take our peace away. Or some issue comes up, like for us to make a major decision, and all of a sudden we have no peace about it. No peace. That's a sure sign not to do it, folks. God's using, he takes your peace where you can feel it inside. That's Jesus Christ manifesting to you to don't do it. It may look real good, something in business, let's say. It may look real good, but the Lord is telling you, do not do it. So that's a powerful verse, folks. Let me say it again. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. So it's action, folks. It's not words. People can keepeth them. So a person can have the commandments of God and not keep them. That's not good, folks. What is good, keepeth them. That's action. The action is good. He it is that loveth me. Okay, so that's the test. Keeping God's commandments means that we love Jesus. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. So now we have the Father, and it's a big love fest, folks. But God the Father, God the Son, and us. And I will love him. So Jesus, we reach him with love, and he reach back to us. And I will manifest myself to him. Everybody wants the Lord to manifest himself to us. And the key to doing that is keeping his commandments. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There's that word abide again. Abide means to dwell, to be in. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Action, folks. Now, sometimes it's not action as you think, but like I was telling you earlier, if you keep my commandments with no hatred in us, you shall abide in my love. So, you know, I was giving you an example of myself. So in times of, in the natural, you might spring up with hatred. We don't do that. You shall abide. So we keep his commandments, and keeping his commandments causes us to abide, live in his love, abide in his love, dwell in his love, abide in his love, be in the presence of his love. And we all want that, folks. If you don't, there's something wrong spiritually. Abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Jesus kept, he never came out of the Father's love because he abided in his love. He whatever he did was with the love of God. He kept, like the, we'll say, the Father's commandments. So we do that, and we're going to look at his commandments shortly. If we do that, we abide in his love. That's what the Lord's saying here. I have kept my Father's commandments, and therefore I abide in his love. So if we keep Christ's commandments, you shall abide in my love. That's heavy, heavy stuff, folks, when you stop and think of it. It's no light thing for us to stay in love, folks. You know, in this world, going out in the world and going to work and dealing with terrible situations, dealing with terrible situations, like, say, at work, or terrible family situations, terrible neighbor situations, you know, that's heavy. That can really put us into anger and hatred and malice and all that. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So all the strife that may be involved with a family situation, as we abide in Christ's love, if we keep his commandment with that and stay in love, it says, ye shall abide in my love. There is an element when we look at this on ourselves. Now, we can approach the Lord and say, Lord, this situation's so bad, you know, he keep me from hatred and all. So it's his power that does it, but we've sought him. And it's God's power in us that keeps us from the hatred. But we could easily, the hatred could be so strong, and we can be so full of anger, that we don't want love. We want revenge and anger. Then we're out of Christ's love. Well, if we're out of Christ's love, there's only one place you can be then, and that's in the devil's realm. Very dangerous. Yeah, very dangerous. I'm trying to think of first of Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to paraphrase the scripture. Who took us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into and under the kingdom of his dear son. Now, that's pretty close. I'm paraphrasing it there. I know it's in Colossians. It might be Colossians 1:13. Who translated us, that's what it is, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. I got it. So it can be reversed. If we are walking in hatred and anger and malice, it's like we're taken out of God's kingdom and put under Satan's kingdom. It's not a good place to be, folks. You don't want to be there. Don't let anything that happened to you take you out of God's grace and love and back under Satan's kingdom there. Okay. So here is God's commandments now. When we look at John, because there's more scriptures I'm going to show you about God's commandments. But we look at the commandments in John and 1 John. And I'm looking at the screen, and I don't know where that green came from, seriously. I don't know, but it's in there anyways. So this is a powerful, First John 3:23 is so powerful, folks. Everybody should know this scripture. And this is his commandment. He's talking about commandments, plural, but follow in this. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. To stay locked on to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and not waver. That's his commandment. And love one another as he gave us commandment. There's the second. So we have two commandments here. One is to stay absolutely locked on to belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the second is to love one another as he gave us commandment. So there's two commandments. One is belief and one is love. So we are locked on and believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. We don't want to waver, anything like that. We're locked on to that faith. And the second is to love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, all these scriptures that I'm showing you about loving and commandment, that is from Jesus Christ. Now, look at 1 John 5:3, going along with 1 John 3:23. For this is the love of God, that we should keep his, commandments, plural. And his commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. Is it hard, folks, that we shouldn't waver and we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ? Is that a terrible, terrible request, unbearable request? Of course not. That we should believe, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And there are many folks that have denied the Lord and gone back out into the world. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Now look at 5:3 now. For this is the love of God, that we should keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. So believing on the name of Jesus Christ, his son, is not grievous, folks. It's faith. It's standing in faith. And the second one, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Not grievous. We may have to stand and say, no matter what that person has done, I'm not going to be full of hatred and bitterness. And Lord, give me the strength not to hate so-and-so. And that's not grievous, folks. It's not grievous. So God's commandments are not burdensome. They're not, it's so hard to follow God and his word and he wants us to do. No, it's when we know what the Bible says about his commandments, no, it's not. So 1 John 2:23 is a scripture we should all know, folks. That keeps us grounded in what God wants requiring of us, not to waver in the faith and not to become hard-hearted. 1 John 3:24. And he that keepeth his commandments, now look at this, dwell in him. He dwell in Christ. That's what all those other scriptures say. And the Bible just laid out what the commandments are. And he in him. And hereby we know he abideth in us. He dwells in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Let me read that verse again, verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Well, earlier I was talking about the reason that John wrote the epistle of 1 John, that we may have fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and that our love and our joy may be full. So here we go. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So this should be an element of real joy in us, folks, with the presence of the Holy Spirit there. 1 John 4:21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So there it is, the love, folks. That love shows up all the time. And that love is like between us. That's what this love is. That love that's between us affects the love we have with Jesus Christ. If we have great love towards each other, and we're standing on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, God dwells in us. So remember that. Don't let anything come between you and God and his love. All right, these here are some scriptures from the Gospel of John now. A new commandment, John 13:34, I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So there's that love again. The love that we have, remember, we're all made in God's image and likeness. And the believers have that unity. As believers, we have that unity with God. So Jesus is saying here, a new commandment. But later, he tells them to have that same love as he laid down his life for them. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. John 15:12. And this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. See, so there, it's like duplicated here. And I know that his commandment, John 12:50. And I know that his commandment is, look at this, life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So God's commandment about loving the brethren, and also when we go into 1 John, his commandment about believing on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. What is it? That commandment is life everlasting. Love is directly connected there with life everlasting, folks. It shows like true conversion when there's a tenderness comes into us like that. That's a part of a true conversion to the Lord. 1 John 15:12. And this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. I double that up again. 1 John 5:3. And I'm closing with this. I've already mentioned it. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Because here I mentioned commandments quite a bit, and I mentioned already that his commandments are not grievous, but I think it's important to sum it up and end with that his commandments, how hard is this to believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ? It's standing in faith, and then to focus on loving the brethren. And sometimes that means there could be some real problems, but nonetheless, we are not to let hatred. Remember, the Bible tells us, if we hate, we abideth in death. So his commandments are not grievous, to love one another and to believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and not to waver in it. All right, that's 1 John, and pretty clear, folks. And it shows you discipleship, really. The 1 John here is a it's really a form of discipleship about loving and not wavering from it, not letting anger take over, bitterness and all of that. Walk in love. That is actually what I just taught here. Is the more I think about it, is discipleship. Real, this is how someone lives as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not in darkness, not abiding in death, but abiding in light. Okay, so if there are any questions or comments, you can call in 717-409-5553. And then we have the panel here. And let me get over to it. There we are. We have Sister Sharon, Sister Kathy, and Gigi, and Mandy, and Rita. So, Sister Sharon, any comments about tonight?
I really enjoyed it and stuff. And you've got to make sure that you don't let the words and the wording confuse you and twist your thoughts and stuff. And what I get out of it, the words to love, and the more we love, we are following His commandments.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important.
And we want
to. It's important.
So others.
We could look at, like, His commandments there. Well, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. Now, obviously, you know, when it talks about thou shalt not kill and all, yeah. But remember, he that hates his brother is a murderer. And look what Cain did with Abel, you know?
Right.
So if we walk in love, it keeps us out of that area where it could turn very violent. Hatred can take over in us. So if we don't allow it through the power of the Holy Spirit, we stay in love. We can never get into that position of violence. Amen, Sister Sharon?
I think that's quite true.
All right. Anything else? You want any other comments?
No. I'll see what other people have to say about that. But this study that you did just brought a lot of childhood memories back where I was taught about love, all of us kids were. And my dad took no, he just absolutely made sure we knew about love. And so love him, my mom, everybody was at the orchard, how to react to customers when they came out when we were real little and stuff, and to show them happiness and love.
Nice, Sharon. Very nice. You can kind of see it in your family now with your son and how he is so kind to his mother and all. That's a lot of love there, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And he knows it's reciprocated, yet the family loves him and he loves the family. And to me, it's always been what it is, but the scripture just really puts it together nicely.
Okay. All right. Sister Kathy.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And I just really love 1 John 3:17, how dwelleth the love of God in you. And that sums it all. If you don't have love and you don't show it, you're in a mess.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you were blessed.
Thank you.
And then we have Gigi and Randy.
Yeah, I think you had me muted.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Okay, that's all right. I unmuted myself. It's it's interesting. The whole teaching is very interesting and instructive. And I remember, this was quite some years ago now, that I remember reading the scripture about Jesus on the cross and they're killing him. And he says, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do.
Yes.
And I remember thinking, okay, this is either deeper than I can understand or he's a lunatic, right? And so we had a really good pastor who is teaching on forgiveness and bitterness, like what you were talking about, let no root of bitterness spring up in you, for many are defiled by it. And that's exactly what you were talking about. But I had a friend of mine, I'm not going to go into detail. Anyway, her husband did terrible things to the children. Okay. And she called me and she said, if he had passed away. And she said, if I forgive him, does that mean that I have to condone or agree with his behavior? I said, no, you never agree with evil, never. That isn't what forgiveness is at all. And so I had brought up, you know, what Jesus said. And so I said, you know, I believe that your husband knew what he was doing, but you don't ever agree with evil, never. And, you know, that was kind of a turning point for me and for her to understand that and to be able to say that to people. You know, forgiving doesn't mean you agree.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, and it's really interesting because a lot of people don't understand that. And over the years, I have had people, you know, talk to me about this and ask me different questions. And that seems to be like a major block for people that they don't understand because people don't go through it. They don't go through it. And anyway, it's, you know, isn't that incredible what Christ has taught us and what he has given us? I mean, what a gift that is. That I don't have to agree with the evil. There's a lot of evil going on in this world, but I can forgive. And I like what our pastor said. He said, forgiveness is, he said, you know, don't misunderstand me, but it's more for your benefit than it
exactly.
is the person that perpetuated
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Seriously. And, exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I remember he's passed on to glory, right? But I remember how just totally significant that was and how many different people over the years have had that conversation with me. And I thought, you know, thank you so much, Lord, because, you know, if I hadn't learned it, I couldn't have shared it and I couldn't have prayed for people. So anyway, thank
John?
You for a good reminder.
John?
Yes, brother.
I only have one thing to say. I loved it.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you were blessed.
We love that book anyway.
You know, First John, yeah. I love 1 yeah. John 5:3, and his commandments are not grievous.
Yeah,
you can almost see John's expression as he's sitting someplace, and he goes, "And his commandments are not grievous."
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Well, I just think I don't know why, but that whole letter. I don't know, I think I've said this before, when I don't feel very good about whatever going on, I go back to that book and I read it because it always speaks to me in a very profound way. So thank you for your teaching.
Yeah, and then they got the powerful verse like 1 John 3:8. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil. That's really powerful.
Amen.
Then you got 1 John 5:3. And his commandments are not grievous.
No. No, it's, I mean, when you look at that, honestly, like, you know, like what that our pastor was saying, it's like, it's not, you're letting the person off the hook, but you're mostly letting yourself off the hook. And, you know, if you read through the Old Testament, it says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay." So he would always tell us, look, you know, it's not that we're wishing something like that on a person, but God's in charge of this.
Yes. And you brought up something very important here. That shows like faith, that I am not going to seek revenge and all of that malice and all of that. I'm putting this into God's hands, and I trust him that he'll work this through. Right?
And it's and I find that very interesting because just on a personal note, I can kind of tell if I'm going down the wrong road. If I feel like I want to retaliate, then all of a sudden I know, oh boy, there I am. I'm on the road to bitterness. I don't want to do that. That is a terrible place to be. So that was so instructive to me, because then I can recognize, you know, I can't recognize bitterness necessarily, but I can
Others can.
Right. But I'm just saying I can't. I want to nip that in the bud right away.
Yeah.
I don't want bitterness. Is bad. Bitterness is really bad. So thank you, John.
All right. And then we have, let me get her free here. Rita is free.
I'm free. The teaching was wonderful, Chaplain John. And it's like it says in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter.
I almost brought it in. I didn't have time. I thought about bringing it in.
You could have all the, you could speak all the tongues or have all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you could have faith to move a mountain. But if you do not have love, you don't have anything. You're nothing. And yes. I also believe that if hate and bitterness will destroy a person.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that many diseases can be triggered by hatred.
Yeah, bitterness.
Yeah, they go together, you know?
Yes.
Yep.
And Satan wants to destroy us.
Yep. Okay. All right. So I'm glad everybody was blessed. And we have to remember that from 1 John. If we hate, we jump right out of abiding in Christ and right over into the darkness, which is Satan. So, We can't.
John?
We can't. Yes.
I'm sorry. Randy wanted to say one thing. I forgot. Excuse me.
John?
Yes?
Bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Yeah. Yeah. With me, I had terrible bosses on the job. And it turns out afterwards, I realized that they were psychopaths. At least two of them, but they had everybody, the bosses underneath them, to act out what they wanted. So I'm convinced that some people died young on the job because of these bosses. I mean, I finally, after I retired, I came across an incredible article about psychopaths and how to identify them. And I was working for psychopaths. But there had been such things done, not only to me, but my partner also and others, that for years later, I was kind of living with it like fighting them in my mind still. And the Lord had to take that out of me. He had to take it out of me. And part of it was forgiveness. They were bad, bad hombres. I'd rather be working with the criminals any day than the bosses that I had. So that's how bad it was with them. So it took quite a while to get that out of my system, but part of it was forgiveness. Okay, we've got time for, I guess, one song. And let me get over. I hear noises. And, all right. Gigi and Randy, do you have a song that you would like us to play?
You have a song?
I think we'd like to hear Redeemed.
Well, that's the Bill Gaither band, Redeemed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, and when you forgive, all that stuff is in the past, and you go on the present and the future. No matter how bad it was, it's in the past.
Amen.
Well, and don't you think, too, that once you have been through that where you've forgiven, then you can recognize it again, and then you don't have to fall into that trap. You know, that's the other person's problem now. It's not my problem anymore. God is going to take care of me. And so I just, like I said, I'm so grateful that Jesus was that example. Also, Jesus, he was stoning him, and he asked God to forgive them.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he said he Thank saw you. Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. He wasn't sitting, he was standing.
Yes.
There we go.
There isn't any other, we don't have a religion, we have a relationship, but there isn't anybody else that understands about that. Nobody else is teaching that, I should say.
About what?
Oh, forgiveness.
Oh.
And the point of forgiveness and being an example to us too.
Yeah, those bosses I had were real psychopaths, really. They were trying to hurt everybody. They were nasty. So, but yeah, there was such things that they did, and not only to me but to others, that the atmosphere was just terrible. Like I say, the Lord took all that out of me. He took it all out of me. All right, here we go.
So happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. I cannot
I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guards every footstep and gives me a song.
Sister Kathy, were you watching that?
I had to refresh, but yeah.
I think that's one of the greatest gatherings of Bill Gospel.
All the old time, yeah.
Oh, my, oh, my. I was looking. The first guy that sang, Squires was his first name?
Squire Parsons.
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
He's still around. If it's Squire Parsons.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't see it. But that guy right there, you don't see it now, but that man's holding him up. He must have just had a health issue, but they are 90% of them are gone.
Yes. Oh, yes.
But boy, it was awesome.
Yeah, looking at them, wow, they were, what a group. What talent was in there, man.
What a contribution Bill Gaither has made to collect all those people together.
Oh, yeah.
Because he single-handedly condensed them to where he would hire them and send them out and pay them. He paid them like $1 million a year, so Candy Hemphill said. And that was just, it took the pressure off them. It took, you know, and so he was a gift to us for the gift of music.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if they I guess a lot of them wrote their own music also.
There is a lot of music writers in there, but not really, you know, not 50% of them, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, they were, wowee, what a, that was, I just, my eyes were scanning over all of those people. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, they're singing with, for the Lord right now.
Exactly what I was going to say. Heaven sounding more beautiful than it did before they got there.
All right. Okay, I'm going to close with this here. The Cry Unto the Lord Prayer Covenant. Abba Father, we come before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, understanding the hour in which we live. We see the day of the Lord approaching, and we are crying out to you according to your word. We cry out in repentance for our sins and the sins of our nations. We cry out for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We realize that time is short before the Lord Jesus comes for his bride. But according to your word, the outpouring of the Spirit will continue until he comes. We are humbled before you with the manifest sins of our nation, recognizing how this offends your holiness. By faith, we ask for one more outpouring of the Holy Spirit, both to win untold numbers of souls to the Lord Jesus and to hold back the terrible spirit of Antichrist. With this mighty outpouring, we ask for the healing of the brokenhearted, the opening of prison to them that are bound, and the setting at liberty to them that are bruised. Abba, free us completely from the spirit of bondage and fear, and fill us with power, love, and a sound mind. Free us completely of unbelief, and have us grow mighty in faith to please you. In the past, you sent many great outpourings of the Holy Spirit, and we are asking our Abba for one more before the groom comes for his bride. The church was birthed with the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to go with you in that same power. The great outpouring first came to Jerusalem. We beseech you for another great outpouring of your Spirit upon your people Israel, like you first sent 2,000 years ago. Abba Father, we love you as little children and believe the word with the same faith as children. We know when we ask our Abba that he hears us. Father, as the end grows near, it is like the days of Noah. To protect us from the wicked one and from the love of the world, we come under the power and authority of your word and your name. We are growing close to you for protection and asking that you heal all the broken hearts of your people, along with freeing us from bondage so that the bride is ready for the groom. Amen. Even so, come, amen. Lord Jesus. God bless everybody. Hope to see you tomorrow morning for prayer. And then tomorrow night, there's no screaming. We have Sister Kathy and Sister Sharon and others at 9 p.m. Eastern. And they stay in prayer until there's nothing more to pray. Sometimes it's till midnight. So God bless you now.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave life everlasting, gave life everlasting, his life everlasting, his life everlasting. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son, his only